Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul was in high form when he wrote to the Corinthians that neither the sexually immoral, the pornoi, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, moikoi, nor softies, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor winebibbers, nor revilers, nor snatchers would inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's my paraphrase of verses 9 through 10 of today's text, with ample help from translations and editors who obviously don't know how this language can be used in church for religious purposes. Take that word moikoi, for example, which I rendered softies. There can be no doubt of the sin it was that Paul intended when he used that word, though I can't tell you here what it means. Ask me later in a different setting, Gemütlichkeit, or something similar. The point is that Paul, like Luther, could get earthy. In chapter 5, after having told the Corinthians to expel the immoral brother, he says they are not to associate with, soon on a mignesthai, sexually immoral people. But then, curiously, Paul qualifies, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or greedy or swindlers or idolaters, for in that case, Paul writes, you would have to leave this world. Leave this world? I think Paul engages here in a joke, although none of the other commentators get it. The barb does have a point, however, and that is that no so-called brother may be a pornos, a pleonectes, an idololatres, a loideros, a methustas, or a harpox, the same vocabulary exactly that occurs in today's text. The negative language recurs about going to the pagan authorities with fellow believers over trivial matters. Paul did not like that practice and says so here in no uncertain terms. Of course, Paul does not mean doctrinal issues, but rather what the text terms biotica criteria, matters pertaining to this life, according to the RSV. Paul was of the opinion that the Christian who on the last day would judge even the angels were certainly capable of deciding trivial cases, criterion elachiston, among themselves. What? He snorts indignantly. Is there no one sufficiently wise among you able to render judgment between his brother and another brother? There should be such a one, Paul implies. It's just that in this matter, the Corinthians were quite misguided. They were keen to pull in the pagan magistrates to render decisions in indifferent matters, whereas they left unjudged matters about which Christians ought to render judgment. Isn't it for you to judge those on the inside, he writes in verse 12. The Greek indicates that the question requires the answer, yes, it is. Paul desired the Corinthians to exercise church discipline. I say this to your shame. Paul basically equates the failure of holding court cases with one another before pagan magistrates to being adikoi, unjust, a wickedness that results in the not inheriting of God's kingdom. In verse 9, he lumps all manner of sinners together. Such indeed were some of you, Paul says. But then, the gospel for today, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Just a couple points to end on. First, that English translation "Such were some of you," leaves much to be desired. In the Greek, we see that Paul used the neuter plural tauta here rather than a masculine pronoun. "Such things, tauta, some of you once were." A large portion of the epistolary audience at Corinth were slaves, that is, genderless human beings. So, of course, they could not inherit. Only legitimate sons could do that by the strictures of Roman law. Hence, when Paul writes, "But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified," this is all shorthand for how the Corinthian Christians and any Christian is incorporated into the family of believers, namely through one's baptism into Christ. "But you were washed." Alla apalousaste. The only other time where the verb apaluo occurs in the New Testament is in Acts 22, verse 16, where Ananias says to Paul, "Get up, be baptized, baptizai, and wash your sins away, apalousai tas hamartias su," calling on his name. Acts recounts the moment of Paul's conversion. Same too with the Corinthians, and same with us. The filth of the pagan past has been washed away. We are Christ's, Christ is ours. Slaves no longer, we inherit the kingdom. "But you were sanctified," alla hagiostheta, namely by virtue of our baptism. In the greeting, Paul describes the Corinthians as having been sanctified, hagios menois. Similarly, the unbelieving husband has been sanctified, hagiostai, by his Christian wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified, hagiostai, by her believing husband. Whatever that means, I'm not going to get into that here. Now the Corinthians as a whole are called saints, kletoi hagioi, enjoying fellowship with Jesus Christ. Slaves no longer, we inherit the kingdom. "But you were justified," alla edikaiotheta. The last of the three great aorists, edikaiotheta, nicely rounds out the unit. Justified here means having been pronounced righteous in the gospel we Christians are privileged to hear. Slaves no longer, we inherit the kingdom. Today, Paul vents his spleen about court cases, basically lambasting the Corinthians with a variety of colorful epithets for engaging in sub-Christian practices, the like of which we too, in our sin and weakness, frequently engage. "But we have been washed, but we have been sanctified, but we have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." Amen.